Hello, everyone, and welcome to the main event. You're here with me, Daniel.
And Aaron.
Aaron, I've not missed that face. It's been a long, grueling summer. First of all, just to address a few things with the channel, there's been lots of question marks over everything about different things that we're doing. Aaron, Bishop Aaron now, congratulations. Aaron is now a bishop.
Thank you. I'll touch on that probably a little bit later.
Yeah. So basically, we are having a little bit of a collaboration this season from the main event. So I've been working with the Gallagher Shot guys, who are a Newcastle-based podcast. They do all kinds of things, match previews, reviews, canny chatter, but they also do an FPL show, which is what I've been on with Matt, formerly known as the Leafy Dragon on X, but he's since left. He's done a runner. And what we've decided to do is, because Newcastle are in the Champions League this season, we've decided to combine forces where Aaron and I will still be posting to our channel as per normal, but we will also be posting everything to the Gallagher Shots channel as well. Now, I suppose the first question is going to be, does that mean we are going to be more Newcastle-centric? Absolutely not. It is going to remain exactly the same as what it was. What's going to happen, though, is that you're probably just going to get a better quality of show, to be honest, which is, I think, what everyone wanted anyway. So nothing changes from us. We are going to be doing a reaction to the groups today. It's going to be sort of a little bit of a football reaction, but also we're going to dip our toes into players without getting too much into it, because we don't know the fixtures yet. We don't know how they fall. Plenty could happen before then in terms of injuries and form and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, we might have a little look at some players. So that's what we're going to do today. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to this video as well. Follow, obviously, if you're a Newcastle fan, follow Gallagher Shots. Get on there. You can subscribe to their channel for $2.99 a month and you get loads of goodies, access to messenger chats, and you get early access to videos. We don't have memberships or anything like that, but please feel free to follow us on Twitter, or X as it's now known as, at UCL Fantasy Pod. And I suppose the final thing to address just before we get started, Aaron, is that, yes, I have been doing another podcast, the UCL Fantasy Podcast with Ed and Lewis. Again, that is not going to affect what myself and Aaron do. If anything, it's probably going to have more of an effect on the Twitter spaces. I think Lewis is going to be heading that. Maybe Silana might jump on the occasional one, but it's all separate. You have nothing to worry about. Anyone that's listened to us for the last, how long have we been doing this for, Aaron? 3-4 years? It's been a while.
Yeah, 3 years.
It's worth three and a half.
Long years.
Long years. You can see you're looking weathered. So yeah, nothing's going to change on our end despite all these other projects jumping in and out. It's just all a bit of a laugh anyway, isn't it? So, Aaron, we are going to start with Group A. Bayern Munich, Manchester United, Copenhagen, and Galatasaray. What are your early thoughts about that, bad lad?
I don't know if it's my signal, that's kind of a bit iffy, but Bayern Munich, I think, straight away jump out, because Man United are not playing great at the moment, and just the other two fixtures, you're going to be targeting them for captaincies for that day and everything. So Harry Kane was already a great asset with his transfer. I think he's even better of an asset now.
Yeah, my gut instinct on this is Bayern Munich are going to run absolute riot in this group. Galatasaray is always a tough away fixture anyway, I think, for anyone. But with the other teams, that's got to be lovely for them. Especially, again, as Man United have been playing, you just expect Bayern Munich to absolutely ruin them. As far as players go, you're absolutely right. Harry Kane was in my team anyway. I think he's a fixture-proof striker, and I think Bayern Munich are a fixture-proof team, especially considering the group they had last year, Barcelona, Inter Milan, Victoria Plzeňa. But obviously, with these absolutely beautiful fixtures, I think it's really hard to not consider a triple up. Leroy Sané has been in my first draft. He is Mr. Group Stage of the Champions League. He is not maybe the best asset, a bit of a trap when it comes to the knockouts, but in the groups, he's always absolutely magnificent. He's in my team at 9 million, cheaper than players like Bruno Fernandes. How is Sané cheaper than Bruno Fernandes? Pens, maybe? Is that it? I don't know. But I suppose it comes down to who's the third asset going to be. We've got Upamecano at 5 million, De Ligt at 5.5. But Rafa Guerrero, if he starts getting game time at 5 million, obviously he's a rotation risk with Alphonso Davies, unfortunately. Do a double up in midfield with either Coman and Musiala. Mazraoui at 5.5 million. Big news coming out today that Pavard has left Bayern Munich. He's going to be joining Inter Milan, so I imagine he'll be playing the right-sided centre-back in a three for them, as how I feel that's going to go. So space has now opened up at right-back. If Mazraoui is going to regularly play right-back, surely we've got to go for him, Aaron.
Yeah, I think we just need to see how Bayern Munich's defence is going to be, because they've always been kind of leaky where they'll win a game, but it'll be like 5-1 or like a 3-2 type of a thing in the group stages. I think when their name was drawn in the actual draw, they pulled out the stat that Bayern Munich are undefeated in over 30 group stage matches. So that's ridiculous. And I don't think that will change too much. I think Man United always can cause an upset, but I don't think it'll be not this version of Man United anyways.
Yeah. Obviously, Kim is probably going to be their starting centre-back this season with De Ligt. He was great last year, but he's up to 5 million from 4.5. Not sure if there's value there anymore. I think Mazraoui for attacking potential could be the one. I assume we're not going to dive into Copenhagen Galatasaray players yet. That's going to need some research. But Man United, is there anyone at all? Nah, Rashford, 10 million striker. Ugh.
Yeah, when it comes between Rashford and Harry Kane, they're the same price. I think it's obvious which one to have. I think a lot of people will be a bit upset that Rashford is a striker. But I think a lot of wingers have been put to forwards on this year. So at least it's consistent, because our biggest kind of complaint was that the wingers some of them would be midfielders, some of them would be strikers. But I think in this, they've made all wingers strikers. They'll be the odd exception.
To go on to Group B, Sevilla, Arsenal, PSV, and Lyon. Saka's a midfielder, which is kind of strange. Martinelli is a forward. Saka's been put in midfield at 9.5 million.
I think a lot of these wingers, though, have maybe, like, if the strikers have been injured, they've played up front. So Rashford's been playing up front. Martinelli has played up front. I don't think Saka has ever played as a striker.
I think this is one of the groups that, I think Arsenal are a team we could target with PSV. I haven't seen how long they've been performing this year, but Sevilla are bottom of La Liga. They've lost all three games. They weren't very good last year. I think they're a team to attack, so we could target Arsenal and PSV players. PSV ruined Rangers last night. I think this will end up coming out on Friday, so ruin them on Wednesday night. anyone that you fancy from either? I'd say probably Arsenal or PSV. Anyone you fancy from either of them?
I think some of the Arsenal players are really interestingly priced. In terms of if Nketiah is starting, 6.5 forward. Declan Rice, 6 million midfielder for the ball recoveries, potentially. But I think in terms of the defence, I think there's a lot of too expensive defenders for Arsenal. A lot of 5.5s. And now that we know the group, but I think when before the groups were announced, I was looking at their defenders kind of being like, they just seem too expensive. The only person I had in my draft was Declan Rice. just for ball recoveries as a cheaper midfielder. But that was it at the moment.
Yeah, some wild pricing in there from some of these players, like Kiwior, 6 million? Where's that came from? Gabriel, 6 million, kind of get a start. Saliba is 5.5. Zinchenko's 5.5. Even David Raya's 5 million in goal with Ramsdale at 5. It's just, they aren't nice prices. PSV, I can't see them in the game yet, personally, on my phone.
No, anyone who qualified earlier this week are not in the game yet.
Yeah, so we can't see any of their players just yet to see if any of them are good value or not. I didn't ask for Group A. We'll start doing it. Group A, who do you think is going to go through from them four teams?
I think it's Bayern Munich, Manchester United. Not very exciting.
Nah, sod that. Bayern Munich, Galatasaray. Group B, who do you think is going through?
Arsenal. I do think Sevilla will turn it around, but they often, it's near like match days 5 and 6. I think PSV will sneak in second.
I agree. I think Arsenal and PSV are the favourites for that particular
game. Sevilla seem to be Europa League merchants, don't they? So they kind of late bloomers make it into third place.
They want to get in that on purpose half the time. Group C.
This is a good
one. We have to be targeting Group C. Napoli, Real Madrid, Braga, and Union Berlin. I want to start with Napoli, Aaron. Osimhen has to be in our team, surely, because Real Madrid, Courtois done his ACL in, so they've got Kepa in goal. Then obviously Braga and Union Berlin. Union Berlin are actually top of Bundesliga. There's only been two games. But they're not a bad team.
But they're a good team. They are a good team.
Aaron, are Napoli going to be the same Napoli as last year?
If we are going off the last two matches, yes. So Osimhen, 10 million seems like a bargain. Yeah. Di Lorenzo has been in very, very good form and has gotten attack and returns in every match so far at 5.5 million. I think he's going to be in most people's teams. Kvaratskhelia, 9.5 million midfielder. I don't know how he won the young player. I don't know how he won the young player of the year last year. He was good in Serie A, but not in Champions League.
He had a couple of good games, didn't he, in the groups, and then he wilted. He wasn't
fantastic
in the knockouts at all. Yeah, he got. Is he still on pens? Because he's awful at them.
We don't know who's on pens.
Kvaratskhelia, in my opinion, he was great value at 5.5. I personally feel like he's a 7.5 million player. That's the price that I think he should be. 9.5 is just insanity. When he's more expensive than Leroy Sané, he's 2 million more than Jude Bellingham. Is there any other Napoli? What are the other ways? Obviously, I think Osimhen and Di Lorenzo, anyone worth the salt, having them two players in the team. Fixture dependent, of course, in terms of what we're going to see with chip strategies and all that sort of stuff. Is there anyone else that's worth having from this Napoli team? Zielinski, Politano, and Anguissa. Where else we're going, Aaron?
With Zielinski, 7.5 is quite expensive. I guess it just goes into how the rest of your team is, especially when it's not set in stone that he's the penalty taker either. He's always going to be there or thereabouts, but I think Tepetan, goalkeeper.
Who was the starting goalkeeper for Napoli?
I'd probably just put that money into Di Lorenzo and not double up on defense.
Yeah, is Meri, yeah. 5 million, up from 4.5 last year, obviously. I think a double Napoli. If you get that Braga Union Berlin in a nice run, you can afford. I think Anguissa could be the one because he did well last year in the groups. Looking at Real Madrid.
I think all of Napoli did well in the groups.
Yeah, they did. Osimhen didn't. He had to wait because he was injured. Raspadori filled his boots quite well, though. Real Madrid, yeah, though, Vinicius Jr. out for 6 weeks. That could be massive, depending on who they get. Unsure who's going to play up front for them now. I imagine it's going to be Hossolu, but I'm not too sure just yet. They've been playing a weird diamond shape, Real Madrid, at the minute, with Bellingham at the tip of the diamonds. Cruz, Camavinga, Tchouaméni, the usual suspects rotating, Modric. But Bellingham's been playing really high up. He's 7.5 million. Surely he's got to be in everyone's teams.
On the form that he's showing at the moment as well. Yeah, 100%. He's in, yeah, he was one of the first names in my team.
With Courtois being out injured, Kepa, 5 million goalkeeper for them. Still not sure about that. But that surely diminishes the rest of the team in terms of value, like Rudiger's, for example, 5.5 million, Carvajal's 5.5 million. One player that looks like could be coming into our teams, though, was Fran Garcia, left back, 4.5 million for Real Madrid starting left back. Tempted at all at his price? Or you just got to stay clear of Real Madrid defenders?
It honestly just depends who makes it alive to that point. It just seems like Real Madrid are picking up injuries left, right, and center. So it's just going to be a kind of wait and see at the time. Obviously, the cheaper the better for a starting defender in one of the favorites of the group. So hopefully they all stay fit. It's just really sad to see that there's just an absolute ton of injuries in this team.
Sad or opportunistic for us? Yeah, I don't know what's going on with how many injuries they've got. They are stacking up, but I mean, Courtois is out for a while, but Vinicius Jr., 6 weeks, they'll be hoping that he'll be ready for the Napoli games, because you'd probably expect them to certainly survive against Braga. Hossolu, 7.5 million, I think, on the game. I think we're probably going to have to do a bit of research on the Braga Union Berlin boys. I saw a little bit of Union Berlin last year. They are a good team. But still, with that group, Napoli, Real Madrid, they are two of the best teams in the competition. So I'm not too sure how much we are going to be going for any of their players. I assume you think Napoli and Real Madrid are going through. What order do you think they're going through? Who's first, who's second?
Again, it kind of just depends on the injuries. I think the order of the fixtures as well. I think if it depends when they face Union Berlin, in my opinion. If Real Madrid are able to recover a little bit more, again, and then have a better chance, so say if they face Union Berlin match days 3 and 4, I think Real Madrid will finish top. But I think Union Berlin could cause a few upsets. I think Real Madrid top.
I think Union Berlin finish above Braga. I personally think Napoli will finish top. I think this will be fresh before Christmas and all that sort of stuff. They're going to be fine. Got a good team, and Real Madrid are injury stricken and are playing a strange formation. So I'm going to back Napoli for those games. Group D, for me, the most competitive, the second most competitive. Benfica, Inter, Salzburg, and Real Sociedad. That's going to be a very interesting group. What do you make of that one?
I think there is always that one group where any team could take points off each other. Like, I think it was Sporting last year, and in their group, like, I think there is just one of them groups. Salzburg just happened to always be in that group, but just from memory, they always just seem to be in a group where they could take points off anybody. Real Sociedad are playing great. Inter, well, I think they're kind of the favourites for the Italian league this year. I think I've got them finishing top. I think it just depends on Benfica because they're not. I mean, we just don't know with the Portuguese teams. Sometimes they have an off year, and it seems like a few of these bigger Portuguese teams are starting a bit slow this year. From memory, I could like literally Google Benfica and be proven wrong, but I know Porto are not starting great.
Vlachodimos, looks like you might be off, heavily linked with a transfer away today. And then you've got, obviously, no Grimaldo at left back anymore. Gonçalo Ramos is off. We have some reclassifications. Like Di Maria is now a forward on the game opposed to a midfielder. So Benfica assets are going to be strange. They are definitely a wait and see. But also with that group, like Real Sociedad, for me, when people would have been looking at the pot four teams, the three that they would have wanted to avoid were Union Berlin, Real Sociedad, and Newcastle. Real Sociedad are a really good team. And I just think that's going to be a fascinating group. Unfortunately, Benfica Inter, odds on, is going to be the most boring game on planet Earth. You can probably guarantee clean sheets from Inter, which is, I think, where we need to be looking, especially with Pavard at Inter. Very good. Good attack and threat. DeMarco as well. So I think that's probably where in this group we're going to be looking for. I don't really see Inter attackers being particularly great value again this year, or even midfielders. Dumfries, 5.5 million. DeMarco, 5.5 million. I imagine we'll just go for DeMarco. Pavard is 5.5 million. He's already been moved over to Inter. We'll have to see, obviously, how many minutes Gerson's gets. I didn't realize they'd signed Cuadrado. Jan Sommer, though, I think.
Gerson's plays for Union Berlin now.
Oh, he's moved across, has he?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a shame he's 5 million. The resurgence of Robin Gerson's could be the most beautiful thing for this game. But we do have.
He scored the other day for them.
Jan Sommer at 4.5 million. I can see being everyone's goalkeeper. Is he going to start for Inter?
He's in my draft. Yeah. He has been. And I think with this Inter team, it is a lot stronger than last year. I think they're the favourites for a reason in terms of it's just about keeping everybody fit. And there's a few players, even though they've lost Lukaku and Dzeko, etc. I think they're just going to be a strong team. De Vrij is playing finally.
Is he? Thank goodness! I say thank goodness.
We've said that for a while.
Yeah,
but I think Thuram, a 6.5 million midfielder who plays up front with Lautaro, is going to be a great shout. And we'll see how.
That is actually a really good pick. That's someone I think that would end up picking up in the group previews. So, yeah, that could be very good at that price point. Salzburg usually have some players that you can pick up for absolute pennies. I'm not sure how much I'd want them in that group. I personally think that's a group they're going to finish bottom of this year. And we normally like Salzburg. They're a really good team, got some great young talent. I just think Sociedad, it's just a nightmare group for Salzburg, really. They got a good pot one team, but I think Inter being the pot two and then Sociedad being the pot four, it's just, I don't know where they're going to get 3 points from. I can see them picking up draws, but I can't see them winning any of these games. Can you?
I say that and then Salzburg always pull up like a crazy result. At least they can guarantee exciting matches for a neutral point of view, which is, I think, what this group might need. There's going to be a lot of boring defensive displays.
Yeah.
Real Sociedad, I think it's going to be a lot of them having the ball, trying to break the defense down. And I think, I do think that Inter will finish top, but I see Real Sociedad finishes in second. I know I've probably jumped the gun with a question, but
I don't disagree with that. I think Benfica are a much weaker team. But they've still got great attacking talent with Di Maria, Rafa Silva, Neres is a good player. João Mário is still a good player. 8 million now, João Mário. That's a bit of a gutter because he was a hero last year. But yeah, I think he is too much. So, I mean, he's there. He's 8 million because he's a pen taker, let's be honest. And you know what? I think some of us may be picking him away from those Inter games. You can see João Mário getting a pen against Salzburg or Sociedad. That's pretty normal. I think Benfica Sociedad are going to be really close together in this one. And it's all about capitalizing against each other. I think that's where it's going to come down to, because I can see them both getting results against Salzburg, and I can see them both getting beat off Inter.
This is the type of group where the people who win the game and finish with really, really great ranks are the people who get the picks from this group right.
Yeah.
And who take the points. So this is definitely, you don't want to, it'll be a little bit scary picking players from this group, but it's the people who get the picks right are going to be the ones who have good ranks.
Another group to get the right picks from, Group E, Feyenoord, Atletico de Madrid, Lazio, and Celtic. I want us to start with Lazio, Aaron. Tell us about them. Tell us how they've started the season. What should we expect from them?
They've not started great. They've lost both games. They're 18th in Serie A. Their team has kind of got picked apart, really, like in terms of like the core of their team. And so it's a makeshift kind of damage control type of season, I think, for them this year. I think they're going to be looking for a top half finish and just looking to take the revenue from the Champions League to rebuild following the losses of like Milinkovic, Savic, etc. And so not great. It really does give the opportunity for a Celtic or Feyenoord to perform well. But it's also annoying that Atletico Madrid always seem to get clubs when they go through transitions and just perform. So,
I mean,
it'll be interesting.
I think Atletico Madrid are going to be the team to go for. No, I don't just mean from this group. I mean in general, because of the group. I think they have comfortably the easiest group. They got the weakest, in my opinion, the weakest pot one team in Feyenoord, who are still a very good team. All the teams in this competition are good.
Yeah.
A poor Lazio team. And Celtic, who are Celtic. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure, again, in Glasgow, they'll put up a really, really good atmosphere. And Celtic actually played really well against like Real Madrid last year. I know they ended up getting beat 3-0 or something off them, but that first half they were excellent. So you can still see Celtic giving teams issues. But Atletico Madrid are off to a hell of a start. 7 points from three games. They'll just be, I think, Vallecano 7-0 at the weekend or something like that. I need to be looking properly into their players to decide who I'm going for. Between Griezmann, Morata, but both forwards, unfortunately. I mean, rightfully so, they are forwards. That's not a point of contention. But then, obviously, there's Carrasco, who often does well. Memphis Depay is a forward on the game, 7.5 million, but I think he's injured. I think he got injured this week. So, have to look at that. DePaul at 7 million is absolutely appalling. Should be ashamed of themselves. Oblak at 6 million. I just can't say get a 6 million goalkeeper.
Too much.
I think it's going to be looking at their defenders again. Where can we fit in some bargains at the back? Unfortunately, most of their defenders are 5 million. It's going to be interesting getting the right picks from that team. And I'm actually quite excited to look at some of their games. Feyenoord. Can you see many picks from there? Do you think, how do you think Feyenoord are going to do?
I don't think you can write them off, because even though they are the weakest, like of the pot one teams, they've beat out Ajax, they've beat out PSV for the title. I think we've got a strong core there, and I think it's almost like we just need to kind of research them a little bit more. Yeah. A lot of people didn't think that they would last and win the title, but they've started again strongly, I think, from what I remember this season as well. So I think it's just trying to identify which players are going to be the ones that help have good value as well. Because from looking at their prices, they're not priced like a pot one team. We were saying before... Sorry.
Yeah, they're cheaper than... They are cheaper than pot four teams. They're cheaper than, I think, Sociedad. They're cheaper than Newcastle. I think they might be cheaper than Union Berlin. Like, it's utter insanity how cheap these players are. When you consider, fair enough, Atletico Madrid's a tough game, but Lazio and Celtic, you'd back Feyenoord at home to both those teams and maybe away to Lazio. Maybe away to Celtic. Celtic aren't playing great.
Yeah, because if you look at it, the second best team in the Netherlands have just absolutely smashed the second best team in Scotland.
Yeah.
So, and these two teams are, like, even though these two teams are better, Feyenoord, I think it's, and other than their forwards, even the midfielders are priced 5 million and less. So we just need to identify the gems in this team, and that's where the kind of group previews come in.
Yeah. Are we picking anyone from Celtic? Celtic at
I mean, weren't we suggesting people last year? Furuhashi.
We suggested a couple of the Japanese fellas because they were doing well in the league. When we said suggested them, we were highlighting who their better players were. We weren't necessarily saying you should get them. For anyone obviously new to this podcast, we have a phrase called Plzeňad. So there was a team last year called Victoria Plzeňad. And basically, Aaron and I just had enough of 3 years worth of having to go through players from dross, pretty much. Now, Plzeňad,
fantasy.
Yeah, like, you're just not going to pick them. Plzeňad had Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and Inter Milan in the group. And it's like, right, which player should we pick from these? Absolutely none of them. So, I mean, they did end up scoring 2 goals against Bayern, but I think that was maybe it. They got one against Barca as well, I think, in a 5-1 loss. Yay, value. So, if you ever hear us say they're getting Plzeňad, basically it means that we just can't be bothered to talk about them because no one in the right mind is going to pick them other than fans from those teams, and they don't need us to tell them what players to go for the team that they support. So Celtic, I think, are getting Plzeňad potentially. I mean, who knows by the time that depends on when they play Lazio, I suppose, and how Lazio are performing. Celtic players on a limitless world.
I could be wrong because I've literally just said Porto started badly and they're unbeaten. So I could be wrong, but I think Celtic and Lazio have played each other recently in a Europa League group stage and Celtic won.
Okay.
I believe.
I can see that. I can totally see that. I just think both Celtic and Lazio are going to be really poor compared to Atletico and Feyenoord. When we also want Napoli players, we're going to want Real Madrid players, we're going to want double Inter defence, we're going to want some Arsenal players for their group, we're going to want triple Bayern. Like, where we're fitting in our Celtic and Lazio players, we aren't. So we're now getting on to the main event, Group F. So I'm going to add our good friend Nathan to the stream when he's ready. He's been ready, very patiently waiting for our 5 or 10 minutes, but I think he's maybe just getting some grief in the background now from his missus. I'll let you in, Nathan. Hello, mate. You all right?
Hello. Yeah, it's just a little one.
No, it's all right. It's Newcastle Champions League draw. Get the little one in. It's fine. Nice to see you representing. So I think Aaron and I have held off long enough. to get to this point. We are in the Champions League. This is mental. Nathan, what did you make of that? How are you feeling during the draw? How are you feeling after the draw?
I was nervous during the draw, you know. Like, I was actually sat and I was like watching the groups come out and I was thinking, please no, please no. And then I seen Group F build and I thought, God, no. I want a Group E.
Didn't we all? Aaron, now Newcastle's your home team, but AC Milan's your first love. I rang Aaron up earlier on and said you're not wearing an AC Milan top anywhere near this podcast whilst we're in the competition. What were your feelings about the draw?
I was, as soon as AC Milan were put into that group, I said to Steph, that's Newcastle's group. Like, I knew from pot three that that was our group. So I just knew that that would be the way it went. And so I kind of had a little bit of time to process it. First of all, it was fantastic matches. I'm very excited to watch not just Newcastle in the Champions League, but just see how this group is going to go. A very different Paris Saint-Germain going through transition, Dortmund versus Newcastle, fans versus fans. It's going to be absolutely unbelievable. And then AC Milan, the team that got me into football, against my love, my team, against Newcastle. Oh, can't wait.
Yeah, I did a live stream on the Gallagher Shots podcast and it was a roller coaster of emotions. There was excitement, there were nerves. Whatever we got, I was happy with, because 2 years ago, lads, we were doing podcasts on here. I remember we jumped on Cameron's podcast to discuss whether we're getting relegated. And I'm like, yeah, we're getting relegated. Fulham are going to smash we're. It God, is like... This is ridiculous. So whatever we got, we could have got the three worst teams possible or the three best teams possible. I cannot believe we're here. I can't believe we got the music. I'm just so grateful. The games themselves are going to be wild. This is the box office group, and it's nothing to do with being a Newcastle fan. That's just a wild group. Because especially, I think, PSG, Dortmund, and Milan are going to be all counter-attacking teams this year, which is not what Newcastle don't like to play against counter-attacking teams. We saw that, unfortunately, against Liverpool at the weekend. That's not a team. So I'm a bit nervous about them. At the same time, Paris Saint-Germain, no Neymar, no Messi. They've now got Dembele and Gonçalo Ramos. Still unsure about the midfield. I'll have to watch a couple of their games. The defense is a year older, but Ramos is still a class. And again, need to watch more of their games. Dortmund, no Bellingham, no Guerrero this season. But Royce is still the leader. Brand's still class. Marlon looks like he's stepping up. But they've also bottled a game already this year in the Bundesliga. Classic Dortmund. In Milan, Tonali's coming home. But... As feisty as that atmosphere is going to be, you have to. And they've got Teo, they've got Liao, they've got some really good players, but you've also got to back us against a team that starts Christian Pulisic and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. So, and I think we can get at their defense. Benacer is a really good player. That's going to be interesting. How Benacer operates where we don't play a number six is going to be really interesting. This, for me, is a group to absolutely avoid. In terms of picks, I think. Obviously, Newcastle fans are going to be picking triple Newcastle anyway. I don't even know who you'd go for. I think Botman and Shaw are 4.5. Botman's injured at the minute. We need to see how he's doing. Definitely stay away from the defence if Botman's injured. Isak, I think, is 7.5 million. Isak could be a good pick. Could be a good pick, but we don't know whether it's going to be him or Wilson. Our players are well outpriced for this game. And Trippier isn't on bonus. It's player of the matches, so he's not getting any of his bonus points if we keep clean sheets. I don't know where to start. Let's just start with a pot one.
Nick Pope, 5.5. I was like...
Rather shoot myself in the face. with Paris Saint-Germain, Nathan.
Yeah.
Talk to me about some Paris Saint-Germain players. Who is taking your fancy? Are you going Mbappe? Are you going any of the rest of them? Ramos? Anything? What are you thinking?
No. Wild. It's a wild shout, but I think Ugarte could be a shout in the defensive mid.
Okay.
No nonsense. Might get ball recoveries quite easily.
He came from Porto, didn't he?
It could be an outside pick. I wouldn't touch PSG defence apart from maybe Hakimi. Yeah. No, it was Sporting, wasn't it?
Was it Sporting? Sorry, I knew it was one of them.
Sporting.
Yeah, the do you have a few new players? Obviously, I mean, see if McGeely gets any games. Hernandez at 5 million could be a little bit of a, I'd say a little bit of a bargain. Like that, the groups are tough. I want to see how the other teams do before investing in Paris Saint-Germain. I also had no idea that they signed Marcus Asensio from Real Madrid, 8 million. Gonçalo Ramos, how is he? He's still a 9 well, million
they're,
forward.
They're also signing Kolo Muani.
Well, yeah, apparently, but I mean, I don't think Frankfurt want to sell him, but he's went on strike, hasn't he? He suits Paris Saint-Germain down with a team. Strike when he... This is what they all do. Yeah. Perfect for them. Oh,
this but then they get Chesney ownership.
See that again, sorry, Nathan?
They get shares in the ownership on the strike.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait. No, it's just Mbappe, isn't it?
I mean, Dembele is a forward now. That's him out of the game. Yeah, I can't get Hakimi at 6 million, I don't think. Donnarumma, 6 million. It's one of those things when they bring the prices out before you see the groups. It's a little wild. Draxler's back. He didn't really impress too much at Benfica last year. Aaron, any Paris Saint-Germain players for you?
To be fair, I forgot Draxler was there.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of these type of games, I think for these a lot of these games, it's attacking a lot of attacking fullbacks. So I think the fullbacks for all of these games have the potential to get attacking returns, but also a lot of ball recoveries because a lot of these players, a lot of these teams play down the wings. So I think the wings are where this group is going to be won and lost, which is why Dan Burn playing left back is going to be great.
Lewis Hall.
Yeah, Dan Burn versus Mbappe. The turning circle of a bus chasing after Mbappe.
Well, gratefully, Mbappe plays left and so does Dan Burn. So it'll only be Usman Dembele versus Dan Burn. We'll move on to Dortmund. We've got, again, I mean, always great value Dortmund midfielders. Royce, 7.5 million on pens. Brandt's a really good player, 7.5 million. Halez, 8 million as a forward. Adeyemi, 8 million forward. Donny Marlon, 7.5 million forward. He's looked the brightest so far for Dortmund. Torgan Hazard's now a 6 million midfielder, probably because his legs are made out of Dairy League dunkers. Though he is a good player. We've got the return of a UCL fantasy legend, by the way. Ben Zabani, left back, 5.5 million for Dortmund. Anyone going to roll back the years with him?
I haven't really seen him play like for Dortmund this season, so probably not. Going Dampen.
Dampen. I don't know about Dortmund assets just yet. I'm gonna reserve judgment. I'm gonna see how they get on before I start piling in a 7.5 million Dortmund midfielders. I'll not be going for any of the forwards, I don't think. Although if you were, they are at a good price, so they could be your third forward. But I think with Kane, Haaland, maybe one of those Atletico forwards, and Victor Osimhen, I think it's going to be very difficult to squeeze in budget forwards at this stage. Milan, Aaron, I'll let you start with Milan. Who should we be looking for from AC Milan? just off the top of your head, nice and quick.
I think that a lot of the defense has priced out the game, but who to go for? Giroud is in good form, scoring in both games so far. Pulisic has scored in both games, but I think he's a bit too pricey at 7 million. But he's in good form. And obviously, Theo Hernandez is the most expensive defender in the game. So that's a risk in itself.
He's a trap, if I've ever seen a trap.
I mean, he did score a beautiful goal over the weekend, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think that they're the kind of the players to go for. Liao is a forward. He was last year as well, but that didn't put people off. But I think Giroud is a better option at forward currently. However, they are in for Taremi. I think that is pretty much close to being a finalized deal. It's just a kind of negotiation over salary. And so whether that goes through or not is kind of still up in the air. It could fall through at any time. But if he joins, I think he would be a good shout.
He's a great player, Taremi.
I haven't checked Porto's prices yet, but he'll be priced the same as what he is.
Benacer, 6 mil?
I think ball recoveries is going to play a massive part in this group. So I think Benacer, the Newcastle lot, I think it's going to be really important. So he is always a shout.
Come on then, lads. Newcastle assets. Let's have a look at them then. So, Wilson and Isak, both at 7.5 million. I've got no idea who's going to play between them. Isak's obviously been starting the season. We kind of guessed that. No idea how rotation's going to play a part in Newcastle's season at all. So, I'd say they're in a void. Would anyone agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think the rotation is just a massive risk.
I think Isak will start.
As far as midfielders go, Almiron 7, probably the biggest goal threat we've got from midfield, even though he is culpable of missing a few sitters. Joe Linton and Bruno, both 6.5. I think Bruno's actually better for ball recoveries than Joe Linton.
And he's got
more. That sounds strange, but see that again, sorry, Nathan?
Miggy, he's just all one-footed.
He is all one-footed, but he did all right with it last season. He just needs to remember how to use it again this season. I'm not sure about Tonali at 6, but Tonali could be good for ball recoveries. I just don't think he's going to get the minutes for the ball recoveries. Seems to be 60, 65 minutes a game at the minute, and you need a 90-minute player for ball recoveries. So that's my concern with him.
I mean, he gets his occasional.
Well, Joe Linton gets his goals from left wing, not centre mid. He doesn't really score from centre mid. So, obviously, you've got Harvey Barnes at 6 and Anthony Gordon at 5.5. If Anthony Gordon is playing for us in the Champions League, he should be in everyone's teams at 5.5 because that's holding midfielder territory and he plays left wing. Other than that,
I think he's good played as a 10.
We don't play with a 10, though. That's the problem. We don't play with a double pivot.
If you looked at the Euros, that's why he was the strongest. But in the Euros, he was the strongest through there, and he got player of the tournament by playing that way.
Sometimes true, but he played left wing against... He played left wing against Liverpool.
I think that was clear.
Random ragged. Aaron.
Trent's overrated.
Yeah. Aaron, any players that you can see that tickle your fancy?
I think there was a tweet that you shared, Dan, about the ball recoveries with Newcastle players. And I didn't realise that Trippier was so far ahead. So he's kind of a double-edged sword, even though he is expensive. But I do think Joe Linton is a bit of a double threat, ball recoveries, and he's a bit more attacking than Bruno. So I would say that Joel Linton is a better pick. He is more like, I was about to say he's more likely to pick up a yellow than Bruno, but Bruno's been booked every game so far. I do think that substitutions are going to be absolutely massive. I think it's just the 4.5 defenders. I think just for the amount of ball recoveries that they're going to have against these teams, and at worst, they're going to be sitting on your bench. So I think that they're a good kind of few players to target. It really just depends on Botman's injury.
Okay. We've talked about Group F long enough. I think it was warranted as well. Newcastle aside, that is the absolute group of death. Paris Saint-Germain, Dortmund, Milan are three. Yeah. Outrageous. Like, so good. Group G, Man City, Leipzig, Red Star Belgrade even. Couldn't even pronounce the easy way of saying it there. And Young Boys. Now, I'm not going to protest or profess to know much about Red Star Belgrade nowadays. Bit of a blast from the past, this lot. Young Boys are actually capable. A couple of years ago when they were in Atalanta's and Man United's group, I think. Can't remember the fourth team in that group. Man City Leipzig is a fixture we've seen every single season for the last 3 years, 4 years. I think they've been in the group stages together two of the last three. This will be three of the last four. And they met each other in the round of 16 or quarterfinals, whatever it was last year, when Haaland scorned me. I'm going to have Haaland at home for Leipzig and he's not going to score. I already know that. Triple Man City. Aaron, what Triple Man City?
I think Foden definitely needs to be there or thereabouts, regardless of price. Obviously, Haaland. And in terms of defenders, well, I would say Alvarez as well, potentially. At 7 million, I think he's a good shout. Rodri, I think, is he's kind of come into his own, not despite the goals that he's scoring recently, just the amount of ball recoveries that he got the most last season. A lot of the defenders are 5.5, but if Nathan Ake, if he's starting at 4.5, I think he's a great shout.
Yeah, and Akanji's 5 as well.
I think Alvarez either of them. Of an asset. Foden.
Say that again, Nathan, sorry.
I think assets, if you're looking at Man City, I think Alvarez is probably more of a shout over Foden for me. I think he's got more of a goal threat.
The issue is that he's a forward. Would you take up one of your forward spots on Julian Alvarez? 7 million.
True.
So he's going to get less points as well for a goal and no clean sheet, and which is obviously the same as FPL. That's right. I mean, it's right. Everyone assumed he'd be a forward. He is playing 10, but he is a million cheaper. Who knows? Maybe Doku comes into the side for some of these fixtures. This is one of them where you want Man City to be getting the early kickoffs. You want match day one, Tuesday, 6 p.m., Man City. Like, no messing around. You know the starting lineup. You can just
versus Young Boys. Get ready.
That's exactly what you want.
I think the good news for... Yeah. I think the good news for Man City assets is that we know that they won't have the League Cup to worry about this year, so... It took you a while, but...
Yeah, took a few seconds there. I was thinking, where are you going with this?
Have they been knocked out already? Oh, I get it. It's because they're getting knocked out of Norwich, isn't it? That's why.
Yeah, that's it.
Leipzig, I don't think we need to talk about. Again, I don't know enough about Red Star Belgrade just yet to talk about them. We'll do a little bit of that in the next coming weeks.
Leipzig are not doing well at the moment.
Yeah. The only player that screams anything to me is Dani Olmo. He is the only one I think I'd even remotely go for, and I'm likely still not going for him. I say that though, you might fancy some Leipzig defenders up against Red Star Belgrade and Young Boys. At 4.5 million, that could be an option just to get some players out on the field to help facilitate money elsewhere, because you'd still fancy Leipzig to beat those two teams, or do you not fancy them to beat those two teams?
I don't know, because Young Boys can perform, can't they?
No, well, the league position isn't great after two games. But they won a trophy.
Yeah.
They won a trophy. They beat Bayern 3-0 comfortably. They beat Stuttgart 5-1. And the team that they lost against, Leverkusen, is European contender 3-2. So it was a close match. So I guess it's just two games in. It's too early to give that kind of conclusion. But they are a good team. I think that they'll be the top two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've not been doing our predictions here. So, we'll just jump back to Group F. Who's going through from Group F? Nathan. For the benefit of anyone listening on Spotify, Nathan's put his head in his hand, is smiling an awkward grin.
Yeah, because I shot myself in the foot last year when I said Rangers were going to do really good, and they just looked like...
See, we're going to finish last, mate.
Ross. Yeah, we're probably... No, I think we'll finish third, and I think we'll get the Europa League. And we'll win that.
Who's going to finish top
two? But I think it'll be probably PSG Milan.
Aaron?
I think Milan top.
Wow.
PSG second.
Wow. I like to abstain from voting. I'm going for, I think, Paris Saint-Germain.
No, you put me on the spot.
No, I think Paris Saint-Germain top. And I think Newcastle or Dortmund finish second.
I think we'll finish second. I think I might cry.
Yeah, oh, 100%. 100%. Group G, are we all seeing Man City and Leipzig in that order?
Yeah.
Last group.
Young boys are coming first.
Try and make this as snappy as possible. Because I assume that we don't know anything about Antwerp. We do have Barca, Porto, Shakhtar Donetsk.
I know they're from Belgium.
Yes, they are from Belgium. Barcelona, Lewandowski has to be in our thoughts, surely. 10.5 million. Are you getting him in? Anyone getting him in?
He recently said in an interview he's mad at Xavi for not giving him enough support and for selling all of his other attacking players. So could be a bit of a rift going there. But looking at the team, I think there's a lot of very good players. I think a couple of their defenders might be a good shout because they had a very good defensive record last year. They seem to be playing a lot more defensive under Xavi compared to the possession-based free-flowing attacking team that they were. So I think a couple of their defenders might be a shout. But there's not going to be many midfielders by the looks of things, because once Ansu Fati is out of the game, the Gundogan, Pedri, De Jong, and Gavi and Kessie seem to be the only midfielders.
Sergio Roberto is a midfielder, unbelievably. Romeo, but they've also got that young, I've totally forgot his name, but they've got a young lad played at the weekend, got a couple of assists, hit the bar as well.
Oh, yeah. Is it the, can't remember, is it the Turkish lad or something?
Yamal. I don't think so. Pardon?
Lamine Yamal.
Potentially. Yeah, he'll probably come in, and I think he's a midfielder. So, 16 years old, something like that. So he might come in. But Lewandowski, I think, is always worth a punt. Always. 10.5 million, takes pens, wins pens, scores anyway, against Porto, Shakhtar, Donetsk, and Antwerp. You want Lewandowski against Antwerp, for the love of all that is holy. Shakhtar are a team that we have to review every single year in the previews, because it just seems everyone changes, everything changes. Then don't even play in the same stadium again for the home games because of the Ukrainian war. Porto, as Aaron said earlier on, have got off to a really bad start by winning all of their games. Torini, 8 million, could be off to
AC Milan. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why I said it? And I guess it goes into our rant every year. So when I was listening to the draw, they were saying that Porto hadn't started too great. So there's me not researching yet, going, oh, they mustn't have started too great. Say it on the podcast, and then I'm like, wait, I should really check. I don't know if anyone else heard it on the draw. I think it was like when it was Les Scott, Julian Laurens and stuff, and Owen Hargreaves at the start. I think one of them said Porto hadn't started great. So that's really annoying.
Yep. But with that group, Diogo Costa, 5.5 million. Yay or nay?
I went Costa for fantasy last year.
For anyone that didn't play last year, Diogo Costa saved a penalty 3 games in a row and got an assist in one of those games. He is UCL fantasy royalty. Against Shakhtar and Antwerp, and even get save points against Barcelona, I think he's going to be my key. Again, depending on the Tuesday, Wednesday fixtures go, I think Diogo Costa and Jan Sommer rotation, if that works, that's going to be dynamite.
See, I've already got, I made a draft out and I've got Sommer and I'm in my team already, and I've got Mia because I just sent in another goalkeeper.
Yeah, we need to be looking to see if there's any 4 million starters. Group H, how do you want to finish, fellas? Nathan, what's your prediction for Group H? Who's going through?
Barca top, Porto second.
Is that the same for you, Aaron?
Yeah, I think Barcelona will be unbeaten.
Perfect. Right, well, we'll leave it there. First of all, apologies if I was cutting over anyone. I think my audio was lagging to everyone else's. I think everyone else had to wait for me to speak a little bit. So sorry to anyone that I cut over. If people were saying things a little bit out of sync, it's just I was saying something. There was a delay to me, and then I think there was a delay for everyone else. So apologies for that if it did get confusing at any point. We'll try and sort it out for the next one. I think we had some issues earlier on with the live stream, similar to this as well. Thank you both, obviously, for jumping on, as always. It was really, really good to see you. Again, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at UCL Fantasy Pod. Please also, if you like this, and if you want some more Newcastle content, follow Gallagher Shots on Twitter as well. And you can also subscribe to them on YouTube. Give this video a like on whatever platform you're watching, listening from. If you are listening, please don't forget to give us a 5-star review as well. Aaron and I will be recording the group previews as per in a few weeks' time, and hopefully we will be doing it from a lovely studio. One of the benefits of us having this collaboration with the Gallagher Shots, they're being very generous to us. So thank you to Gallagher Shots as well for having us, and we will see you all next time. Bye now.